This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by families Luchner and Schreiber, the Chvoit Simchas and Nisroin Shel, Gabi Luchner and Racheli Schreiber. Chof Tesada, 16th of March, Rabbi Avrom Chaim San, the Little Aleph.
The little Aleph. So Vayikra, everyone knows the first word of Sefer Vayikra. The last letter of the first word is an Aleph, and in the Sefer Torah it's written a little Aleph. So the Baal HaTorim says, why is the Aleph written? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu write a small Aleph? Because, says the Baal HaTorim, there's two words which we find when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a Navi. Sometimes it's Vayikra, sometimes it's Vayikar. When it comes to a Navi Yisrael, whose Nevuah comes with preparation, meaning that he lifted himself up to a Dargah of Ruach HaKodesh, and he became on a very high Madrega, and because of that Madrega he was Zeicha to Nevuah, that's Vayikra. However, in the case of Bilam, where there was no prior preparation, Bilam was a Rosha, a Mushkas, but Hashem spoke to him, so to speak, casually. He happened to meet him. So then it's Vayikar. And Vayikar doesn't imply any sort of madrega whatsoever on behalf of the person to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak. So says the Baal HaTorim, Moshe Rabbeinu in his humility, he didn't want to write Vayikra, as if Hashem spoke to him only after he lifted himself up to a Darug of Nevuah. He wanted to write Vayikar, to hide his madrega, to say it was grand. Hashem Kaviyachol bumped into him and said, oh, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, I've got a message for you. Hashem wouldn't hear any of it. Moshe Rabbeinu, you jolly well write Vayikra. So then Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, but let me at least write a small Aleph. And Hashem said, okay, you can get away with a small Aleph. So the question is as follows. If the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to write Vayikra was because he wanted to hide his madrega, he wanted to make out as if Kaviyachol it was just a casual meeting between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once Hashem told him to write Vayikra, what did he gain by writing a small Aleph? But you've let the cat out the bag. The secret is now known that your Nevuah was not casual, it was with preparation, it was Badarika on the level of Vayikra. So you might as well write a big Aleph. What's the point? What's the rebach? What's the gain of writing a small Aleph? This is the question. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, Zichrono Livracha, in the Sefer Ve'egalato, answers the question with the following, he quotes the following story with the Chofetz Chaim, with which he wants to shtel tzu, the message of the Chofetz Chaim, to answer this question. The Chofetz Chaim had a Talmud who did a shirich, a rich shirich, and his shver supported him for 5 years. After 5 years, Kesef Minolam, he ran out of needs, and he had to go into the Olam HaMischar. And he went into the Olam HaMischar planning that he would learn, he would work for a couple of hours, 2-3 hours a day, and the rest of the day he would learn. From 2 hours became 3 hours, from 3 hours became 4 hours, until there was not even a Chatzi Shir left for him to learn. He would spend the whole day in the office. After many years, 10 years later, the Chofetz Chaim happened to be in the town, and he meets his Talmud. And he says to him, what happened to you? You were 5 years of kest, 5 years you learned solid, but then you couldn't even devote an hour, a couple of hours for learning Torah, nothing at all. So the Talmud said to his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, I learned in Rosh Hashivas, in the Radana Yeshiva, the Radana Yeshiva is to blame for the fact that I'm not learning. So the Chofetz Chaim was taken aback. Well, we told you to go out of learning, why are we to blame? So the Talmud said, because in Radan Yeshiva we learnt by Rabbi Naftali Trop, Zichron Livracha, Hagon and Naftali, and he indoctrinated us. He taught us as learner that we learn a biyun. You have to learn with amkus, you have to understand the Gemara, what's the kasha, what's the teretz, what's the hamamina, what's the maskana. You have to know the shittas harishonim, but amkus in the skelet. And if you don't learn, if you just learn ibeflechlech, if you just learn superficial, It's not called learning. That's what we were told in Bar Avtoni. You have to understand. If you don't understand it properly, see. So after my 5 years, the first 5 years I was gilad, I was on cast for my shvei. I learned mamish like in yeshiva, but even gadol, I sat gave up a life. After the 5 years, then I went to look for a shir. So I saw the rav of the town, the rav of the shtetl where I was living, was giving a shir somewhere. He learnt a daf, an almud, a daf of Gemara in an hour. I said, that's not called learning. I was taught by my yeshiva, that's not called learning. So I didn't go to the shir. But I might as well not learn. So it's all the rav of the yeshiva's fault that I'm not learning anything. Everybody's got their excuse. Even our geniuses' excuses. This was his excuse. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, let me explain to you your mistake. With the following muscle. The Chofetz Chaim says to him as follows. There was a Yid whose Oynik Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, was to go to the Schmitzbar, to go to the sauna. And apparently, I've never done this before, but apparently after the sauna, you have to jump in a cold mikveh. That seems to be the Mahalach. Maybe the other one here is more learned than these in Yonah, but see, in Gator we don't have a sauna. But that seems to be the Mahalach. So he became not well this year, unfortunately, and his doctor told him, "Bishum Eifen, no more saunas. It's very unhealthy for your heart, for this, for that." Absolutely out of the question. But here I know him after a few weeks, he felt he was better, and he thought, "Rushain, can the Karangin, I can go, it'll be okay." And he goes in, and he sits, and he begins to schwitz, and then all of a sudden he gets chest pains, and he feels nishkud, and he goes running out, and he wants to jump in the kol mikveh. And put that week, they didn't fill the kol mikveh, it's just an empty boil. So he's standing by the steps of the kol mikveh, and he's shouting, "Ich dav hoben a mikveh, I need a kol mikveh." So if somebody comes with a bucket of water and wants to pour it over him, at least cool him down a bit. He said, no, I need a kol mikveh. What's the use of a small bucket? So they said to him, "You're a fool. If you haven't got a kol mikveh, but at least take a bucket of water, epis to cool you down. Just because you don't have the maximum, it doesn't mean you shouldn't take a bit less." Says the Chofetz Chaim to the Talmud, "You're the one, you want dafka kol mikveh. You want dafka shabit to learn like the dinner radim. And the top of the house, if you don't have a kol mikveh, nothing. Second best is no use. That's a foolish attitude, that's a wrong attitude. If you can't get the best, don't throw the towel in and say garnish. Take hot second best. Don't say because you can't get it right, therefore I'm not going to do anything at all." And therefore the Chofetz Chaim said to this Talmud, "This was your mistake." So Rabbi Galinsky says, there's a very strong Musa Haskell in this Maisa with the Chofetz Chaim. And that is, there's a Midah which Rabbi Galinsky says comes Mikoyach the Yitzhara, if it's misused, the Midah of perfectionism. Meaning to say that I have to get it perfect. And if I'm not going to get it perfect, I'm not going to do it. And that Midah of perfectionism, which means perfectionism doesn't mean trying to be perfect is perfect. That's Gewaltic. But to insist that if I can't get it perfect, so I'm not going to do it, that Midah is the Midah, says Rabbi Galinsky, of the Eitz Hara. And that was the message which the Chofetz Chaim was telling his Talmud. You wanted your learning to be perfect, and if it's not perfect, then you're not going to learn. And thus takes. Says Rabbi Galinsky, that was the message of the little Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to write Vayikar. That would have been perfect. Hashem said, "No, sir. You write Vayikra." So Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, "Okay, I can't write Vayikar. I'll just write Vayikra and Gandik. If I can't be perfect, I'm not doing anything at all." Says Rabbi Yehuda Galinsky, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, you can't get it perfect, so get it as close to perfect as you can. Take second best. Don't just do nothing. So even though the little Aleph you don't get, of it to show, Epos, I wanted to write my Yikar. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us this Midah, that even that a person has to strive for perfection, of course. A person has to strive for Shlemus. But if you can't achieve Shlemus, so then we don't say, "Oh, if I can't achieve Shlemus, then nothing at all." Kasu Kalina, that's that Sasayeta. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, to teach us that lesson, said, "I wanted to write Vayikar, I'm not Matzliach. Hashem said you'll have to write Vayikra, okay, but I'm not going to just write plain Vayikra, all the letters big. I'm going to do a second best and write a smaller." So I heard in the name of Rabbi Tzvi Meyer Zilberg, Rabbi Gesunter Stark, a similar idea in the Shulchan Aruch, beginning of Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber Paskins in Sif Gimel, Simon Aleph Sif Gimel, Roy Lechol Yerei Shemayim, Shehei Meitzer V'doyeg Al Chrum Beis HaMikdosh. It's fitting for every person with Yerei Shemayim that he should be troubled and he should be worried about the Chrum Beis HaMikdosh. And the Mishnah Brura in Sif Gimel says, V'hamukubolim, the Mukubolim Herichu Mo'ed, they speak at length, the Goydel Ma'alas Kimas Chatzois, with the Indian of getting up with Chatzois, to say Tikkun Chatzois, to bemoan the Chrum Beis HaMikdosh, followed by learning, followed by davening. This is the ideal to get up with Chatzois. That's the Mishnah Brura in Sif Gimel. Let's turn back to Sif Aleph, the very, very famous words, opening words of the Mechaber. Yiskaber ka'ari la'avoid ba'boikar la'avoid aspoyer. What happened with Chatzois? Yiskaber ka'ari la'avoid ba'boikar. The Shulchan Aruch makes no mention of Chatzois. That's the Mekubalim. But the Shulchan Aruch says ba'boikar. The remark comes, takes it even further. Va'al kolponim lo ya'achas manat filo sha'atzibo mispaladin. At least don't miss the last minion. So get up for 11 o'clock, whatever the last minute is, l'chol apochus. So we have a very interesting cross section. We have Chatzois, we have Baboikar, and then we have don't miss the last minute. All condensed in the beginning, right? The Shulchan Aruch starts. So what's Tzitzach do? So Tzvi Meyer said the following. The Shulchan Aruch is begins his words with a person who went to bed with very high aspirations. He's going to get up for Chatzois, going to be one, follow the instructions of the Mekubalim, get up for Chatzois, say Tikkun Chatzois, say the whole of Tilim, have a whole 4-hour Seder, and then he's going to go to that. Next thing he knew, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Papashkin, he missed the whole thing. Comes the Mechaber and says, so what's the temptation? I missed it. I'm just going to turn over. I missed it. Finished. No, Yiskaber Ka'ari La'amid Ba'boikar. You didn't manage to do plan A. Don't say that since I wasn't much there. Perfectionism. I can't get it perfect, so I'm not going to do anything at all. No, Yiskaber Ka'ari. Pashtus, Yiskaber Ka'ari means because getting up in the morning is very hard. In this context, Yiskaber Ka'ari means overcome this temptation of perfectionism. That if I can't get it right, then I'm not doing anything at all. Overcome that emotion, that feeling, and say, look, in Ochanama, I wanted to achieve getting up for Chatzois. I can't do that. At least get up in the morning. Babaika. Comes the Ramah. And the Ramah says, and even if that doesn't work, and next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock, and you still didn't get up. Don't say now, oh, Shoyin, I wanted to get up for Chatzois. I wanted to get up for 7 o'clock. Now, sorry, 9 o'clock, sorry, no, says the Ramah. Still don't throw in the towel. At least don't miss the last minion. In other words, the message of the introduction of the words of the Shulchan Aruch are this message, that avada, perfection, to strive for perfection, to strive for shleimus, avada, every year has to strive and aim and have an ambition to achieve shleimus. But so many times, more often than not, we don't get there. So what should be our reaction on that, on not achieving the goal which we wanted to achieve? Our reaction should not be, well, I didn't achieve it, so therefore it's obviously not for me, and therefore I just throw in the towel. No, chas v'chalila, that's the atzas ha-yetzer. The Yetzirah wants us to do that. The Yetzirah wants us to strive. They say, Chazal say, vaya, it's kol ha-she'osa, at the end in Bereshis, just before, v'yichulu, v'hirei toi moed. And Chazal say one of the drushes, Toiv ze yitzah, Toiv? Toiv ma'oid ze yitzah hara. So obviously it's very difficult. If the yitzah Toiv is Toiv, the yitzah hara is Toiv ma'oid? How do we understand such a Chazal? So I heard one of the shots in Chazal is, the yitzah hara wants us to be perfectionists. He wants us not only to strive for perfection, that's a good middle, but he wants us to be able to say, I didn't achieve it, finished. So what does the Yetzirah do about that? He puts into us unrealistic ambitions. He makes us strive for things which we know, which he knows in a million years we'll never get there. Hoping that since we didn't achieve that, we'll just throw it all in. Toiv is the Yetzer Toiv. When a person has a realistic ambition, it's Toiv, then it could be he'll achieve it, and if he doesn't achieve it, he'll get over it. Comes the Yetzer, says, no, it's not a big enough ambition. You have to aim for Toiv Moed. And if you aim for Toiv Moed and you won't get anywhere near Toiv Moed, then you're going to get all miyush, you'll be all depressed, and you'll just pack it all in. The eights of Toiv Moed, that's the eights of the Yetzer, and that's the introduction of the words of the Shulchan Aruch. This message which the Chofetz Chaim told his Talmud, this message which Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us with the little Aleph, that in Acharama, striving, aiming, of course we all have to aim for Shlemus in our Avodas Hashem. But to remember that don't sacrifice perfection for achievement. Don't sacrifice achievement for perfection. And therefore, we should. If we can't achieve, then don't give in to the Yetzer and say, I'm going to throw it all in. No. There's a very interesting tour in Hilchos Pesach, Hilchos Bedikas Chometz, which I heard in the name of Rav Tzadok, said this idea in the words of the tour. The tour speaking about the halachas of if someone talks during Bedikas Chometz, does he have to make another bracha? So the Torah quotes in the name of his father, but Kasav Oid Adoni Avi Harosh. Yesh Oimrim, She'ein Leboidek Ledaber Ad Chiyigmoy Kol Avadika. Once you've made the bracha, says the Rosh, you must talk until you've completed the whole of Bedikas Chometz, until you've searched the whole house. Says the Torah, V'yesh Moisifin Oid, and some add on to this, Loima to say, She'im Soch, if he spoke, Bitvarim, about matters, Shaloi me'en habdika, which have got nothing to do with Bedikas Chometz, Shetzorich lachzor ulevorich. So a person has a seven-room house, he's done 6.5 rooms, there's just half of the last room which he hasn't yet done, and now he talks about something which has nothing to do with Bedikas Chometz, says the Torah, quoting Yesh Mesivim, you haven't done the mitzvah, you have to make a new bracha. Says the Tor, a very interesting expression to show his disagreement to this. V'chol zeh einenu shove li. You know who said those words. Not one of our friends. V'chol zeh einenu shove li. Elo says the Tor, you should be careful not to talk, I agree, but not a new brach. So Tzadok asks, the Tor's got nobody better to quote than Haman HaRasha? I mean, Vela, you quote Mordechai, you quote Moshe Rabbeinu, but Haman HaRasha, V'chol zeh einenu shove. There must be a message there that put. He should quote the words of Azar Rasha, V'chol zeh. So the Rav Tzadok says, Al Pidrus, beautiful pshat. According to the words of the Yesh Mesifim, a person has got a house, he searched the house thoroughly. Out of the 7 rooms of the house, he's done 6.5 rooms, gewaltig. The last half of the last room he hasn't yet done. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if you talk, says the Yesh Mesifin of the Torah, you talk now, you talk before you did the mitzvah. You haven't done a mitzvah. Until you've completed. Until you are perfect, you haven't done anything. And therefore, you're going to have to make a bracha, another bracha. It's just like you talk between, everyone knows, if you talk between the bracha and before you start the bedikah, that's a mefurish halacha, no question about it. You got to make a new bracha. If you talk about something which is not negir, because then you're being mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. So says the Yesh Mesifin, if you talk after you've done 9/10 of the bedikah, to all intents and purposes, that's like talking between the bracha and the start of the mitzvah. Because perfect, you have to be perfect. If you're not perfect, you haven't done anything. Comes the Torah and says, do you know whose attitude, whose hashkafa is that? That if you don't have everything, then it's kilu, you've got nothing. This attitude is the Atzas HaYetzer, and it's taught us. We see it from Haman HaRasha. Every single human being in the whole of Paras Umadai was bowing down to Haman HaRasha. Millions and millions of people. There was one single human being of all who didn't bow down to him. Just Mordechai. And what does Haman HaRasha say? V'chol zeh einenu shaveli. To God is God is man. If I don't have every single person, if it's not perfect, then it's nothing. Says the Torah. That's why the Torah marshals the words of Haman HaRasha. Says, apparently, I haven't seen it inside, but apparently this is what Reb Tzadok says. The message was that this midah, that if you don't achieve perfection, then you have nothing which breaks a person, and which is incorrect, and which is the Atzas HaYetzer. This midah is the midah of the Yetzara. This is the midah of Haman HaRasha, that he had everything beside one person. B'chol zeh einenu shaveli. And therefore says the Torah, no, this is something which we must not follow, we must not take the idea from this. What is the point? What is the nekuda? How do we fight? A person likes to be perfect, and it is upsetting when perfectionism, when we don't achieve perfection, and it is tempting to say, if I didn't get it right, then it's just not for me. So how do we put ourselves, how does a person, like, so to speak, put himself out of the rut of this temptation of feeling such a thing? So let's talk a little about Be'ezrat Hashem, about Parshas HaChodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. As we all know, the first Rashi on Chumash, Amar of Yitzchok, the Torah shouldn't have begun with the words Bereshis Bara Elokim. The Torah should have begun with the words HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. This is the first mitzvah. Elo Kliach Maisom Higin Le'amoy. There was a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu began with. So the first mitzvah, Rashi tells us, with which the Torah should have begun, if not for the message of Kliach Maisom Higin Le'amoy, is the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, of Kiddush HaChodesh. And many of the Mefarshim are discussing what is unique about this mitzvah. What is so special about this mitzvah? I understand you had to begin somewhere, but there obviously must be something very unique about this mitzvah, which this should be the one which, had the Torah begun with the mitzvahs, this would have been the first one. So there are many pshat, but I've heard two ideas, both of them very similar. The first is, if you go to a normal Yiddish family, you ask my kids, what's special about Rosh Chodesh? So they would say, well, normally for breakfast we have Weetabix. Yeah. And Rosh Chodesh we have Rice Krispies. So, or Frosties maybe. Something, that's the whole, in other words, Rosh Chodesh by us is no, not such that, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Chodesh was what Shiva Bacher would call a major matzav. A real matzav. You know why? Because the whole day, everybody's waiting, are the Edom going to come? Is it going to be Rosh Chodesh today? Is it not going to be Rosh Chodesh today? And every day you're looking around, oh, is there somebody coming? Not somebody coming. There was a whole, it was an exciting, it was a stressful, it was a matzah, I don't have a better word for it. It was a real, a day which everyone would remember. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was a mitzvah where there was a big fuss and a big approach to Yiddishkeit. Kiddush HaChodesh teaches us that our approach to mitzvahs should be an approach of excitement, an approach of looking forward, not going through the rote, not going through mitzvahs anoshim ulumada. And therefore that's why, this is one of the reasons why this, and all the mitzvahs, this mitzvah would be the one to be chosen to be the first mitzvah, to be melamed ala klal kula, to tell us the approach to mitzvahs should be an approach of excitement. Rabbi Biederman, Rabbi Meinrich Biederman brings in one of his pamphlets, a rebbe walks into cheder one morning, and he tells his children, he asks a very strange question. He says, we're learning Bava Metzia. So how did the first Mishnah in Bava Metzia start? So he says to them, tell me, the second time that it's written, is the writing in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara any smaller than the first time? So they didn't know what he's talking about. Why should it be? No, of course not. Is the second time written any smaller than the first time? No. They didn't cut what he wanted. He said, okay, now open your Sidurim. So they open the Sidurim, open them to Halil. Not the art school Sidur, how about any other Sidur? Now have a look at Oidcha. Oidcha ki anisoni vatihiri vishua. That's the first time. And what does it say the second time? Oicha. So he asks him the following question. Sounds like a ridiculous question, but the message is so strong. How come? Zayim akulishali. It doesn't say zeh. It says again, Zayim akulishali, written out, same size, same words. By oicha in Hallel, oicha ki anisoni vatini lishua. And the second time, if you're lucky, you get an oicha. And if maybe just a few. What's an afkamina? Funny question. But listen to the answer. Goinus. Because in the case of the Mishnah, you have Reuven fighting with Shimon. Reuven is screaming at Shimon, you gamut. Zerim anima tzosia, I found. And Shimon is screaming back at Reuven and says, you are a gamut, anima tzosia. So each one is saying, kula shali, or anima tzosia, with the whole zeal, with the whole bread. Anima, I found it. So each time it's written in full, in big words. A person comes to Hallel and he thanks Hashem. He thanks Hashem the first time. Now the second time, it's already become Mochadik. So it's just Oidcha. You don't write it big. And the Rebbe told his Talmidim, the message is, no, don't let it cool off. That's not what Yiddishkeit is about. Yiddishkeit is excitement on every time, not just the first time. Don't fall into the trap of the small writing of Oidcha. And this is the message of Kiddush HaChodesh, that the mitzvah should be done not just Mulamaradik. There should be an excitement, just like by the Kiddush HaChodesh in the days of the Bisamikdosh, it was a major excitement. This should be a Malavid al-Klau Kulay. This should be the attitude to mitzvahs. That's one message of the Kiddush HaChodesh and Parshas HaChodesh. The second message is that Kiddush HaChodesh teaches us, we know that we follow Klal Yisrael, we follow the Levana, as opposed to following the Chama. And many of the Svarim say the principle, why, what's Klal Yisrael's connection to the Levana rather than to the Chama, the sun? The sun is steady, doesn't go up, doesn't go down, just steady eddy, stays the same. The Levana, every day is different. Sometimes on the way up, sometimes on the way down. But every day, the Levana is starting again, reviving itself. Sometimes he revives for the better, sometimes the Nefila, but it's never the same. The Koyach of a Yid is the Koyach to revive, to renew. And even if yesterday maybe wasn't so good, but today I'm going to start again, I'm going to renew. And that's the message which we learn from the Levana. The pasuk says, "Lesokim lachom atzeva, asher sonei Hashem alekecha." And the remez of the pasuk is, "Lesokim lachom atzeva." A matzeva is still, steady, not moving. Don't be like a matzeva. Don't be not changing, stuck in your ways, because asher sonei Hashem alekecha, not to be able to renew yourself, not to be able to, in business terms, so to speak, refinance. To start again and build up again, das teignisht. L'sasun kein l'Hashem alekeichem. L'sasun kein. Don't say, this is me, kein, this is how I am, I'm not changing. No. That's not the derech. The derech is we have to be able to restart and revive. And that's the message of the Levana, and that's the message of Kiddush HaChodesh. And that's the answer to when a person makes and strives for perfection, and he doesn't achieve perfection. And now the Eitz Hara comes and says to him, oh, you didn't achieve Fafalen. Now we have to use this Koyach of Chiddush and to say, yes, it didn't go. Yes, I broke down, but I'm not staying broken down. I'm going to start again. Maybe the second time won't be as good as the first time. True. But nevertheless, this is the Koyach of Klal Yisrael. To use the Koyach of Chiddush. And this is why it's the first mitzvah, would have been the first mitzvah in the Torah. This is why Chiddush Nisan, it's dafka in the spring, because everything is starting, everything is beginning to sprout. Renewal. Our koyach is a koyach of renewal. That even if things don't work out as perfect as we wanted them to be, nevertheless, we renew ourselves, even if we can't get up for katsuris, baboika, even if it doesn't work out baboika, the last minion, even if it's not by yikar, we'll do it by yikar with a little aleph, we'll never just give in and throw in the towel. We will always renew, we will always grow, and with that we should all be zaycha to grow and grow and be zaycha to chad koshim sameach.
Amen. Amen. Amen.